You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out of bad, seat a broken, in a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, out of bad, take bad, lie bad, do bad, 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 such a bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. Ooh, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion show, what up, should do. But all my friends that come around, flat to party, all rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, the town is tattered, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Shake it, should do. Are you with us tonight from New York? Oh, they like Megadeth. And put him in control. Watch Pharrell become a god. Watch heads a roll. I know you like it. Say it with me. Turned like the pie by land rats through the streets. Dance like the mariner, swam to the symphony. Yeah. Acting like a robot. Metal head corona. So we got a great show for you tonight. Mitch Lawrence at 20 past this very hour, 7:20 Pacific, from NBA Radio, Forbes, and Sporting News. Obviously, the NBA season came to an end on Friday night, and now a crazy offseason led by where LeBron James will go is starting to kick in. The Lakers have become the betting favorite. One report today says LeBron's son has committed to play high school ball at a school outside of L.A. Will LeBron look good in purple and gold in Lipstick City? We'll ask Mitch Lawrence tonight. It's funny. I've heard 5 million different opinions on this already, and no one knows anything. I think he's going there, too. But I could see him staying in Cleveland, believe it or not. With, you know, everything going on with his family there, his charities, everything, his teammates. Like, you know, Love and these guys. Some of them, you know, I think he's in deep with. Even loser JR, who I think's washed completely. They should get rid of him. But I still think he's going to the Lakers. I have this strange feeling. But you tell me where he should go. Should it be Houston? Should it be... There's people that think it's Boston. There's people that think it's Philly. Some people think the Warriors, right? Can you imagine? Some people think Miami. Again, why would he go back there? Why wouldn't he go back there, come to think of it? Bob Nightingale at 11 Eastern and 8 Pacific, the USA Today great baseball columnist. We'll talk about everything, including the elbow injury to Shohei Ohtani that may or may not need Tommy John surgery. Reports this morning say he needs it and he'll be out till 2020, but the Angels are denying that and still say that their medical staff have not recommended that choice. We'll talk baseball tonight for sure. I'm actually watching the Pirates up 1-0 on Arizona and extra innings in the 11th. Boston and Baltimore at Camden scoreless. That's what I'm watching right now. I was watching a little of Mad Bum pitching in Miami, but they're losing 7-5 to the Marlins. I was watching the Brewers. They're up 2-1 in the seventh on the Cubs. Cleveland leads the White Sox 4-0. St. Louis 4-1 on San Diego. That's in the seventh. Toronto was a loser in Tampa 8-4. Starting later, Angels and Seattle here momentarily. They'll get that going in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. Also, anyway, in terms of baseball, we'll hit all that with Bob Nightingale, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. I watched baseball this weekend, the Subway Series. What'd you think of that, Carver High? The Yankees took 2 of 3.
That's fine by me. That's all I need him to do. I'm not one of these guys who gets wound up about the Subway Series or beating the Mets or anything like that. It's another series to me. Yanks did what they had to do. Take 2 out of 3. I don't care who the opponent is, and just keep the train moving.
Justify became the 13th horse to win the Triple Crown on Saturday with a wire-to-wire win. Jockeys have accused Bob Baffert of using another horse, Restoring Hope, to block for Justify to help him win the Belmont Stakes and the Triple Crown. You know, it's funny. When I was watching the race, I never thought of that once. I never sat there and thought, wow, there's this horse blocking for him. All I thought was, I can't believe this horse is going to lead wire to wire and on that mile and a half, like that you would usually, you know, wait until the last half mile to kick in, right, to bring it home and then make your move, which is basically what Gronkowski did. The horse was dead last. It was 20 lengths behind the field at the beginning, right, of the first mile. And then this horse came out of nowhere and charged up and finished second. But Justify won it. And all I can think of the whole time was I was happy for the horse, happy for Baffert. What did you think when you were watching it?
I thought it was unbelievable because it's something that we don't see too often, obviously. It's only happened 13 times. We've been lucky enough to see it twice now in a few years. When you get into things like blocking horses and stuff, that's like serious, deep, like you got to be involved in horse racing like every day of the year to know what's going on out there. And the average fan is watching that race, like you said. They're not noticing if there's getting if a horse is blocking another. And if that is what happened, who cares? That's a great job by Baffert setting it up that way. I have no problem if
you
think that.
Horses should be should trainers be allowed to only have one horse in the three Triple Crown races?
You know what? That's a different story, and I wouldn't have a problem with that. But these are the rules. The guy can have multiple horses in the race. He's got a horse going for the Triple Crown. I mean, do what you got to do to win it.
Bletcher had two horses in the race.
His plan wasn't as good as Baffert's.
Yeah, why didn't he have a plan to stop that from happening? The long-awaited heavyweight fight between Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder will evidently take place this fall in the United Kingdom. Will this be the fight of the year, Carver High?
Yes. I'm pumped for this one.
Were you able to watch any of the fights this weekend? I watched the Crawford fight and the other fight I watched.
Leo Santa Cruz Maris,
too. Also, an amazing fight against Charlo won. I didn't watch that one over Trout, but I did watch the other two. What did you think of Crawford just beat the pulp out of Horn?
I saw a little bit of Bud.
He killed him.
It was like he had no shot.
He was going to kill him. And then I thought the Santa Cruz Maris, did you see that fight? It was insanity.
I only saw the highlights of that fight.
These two fights between these two guys are the best fights of the year. Fight of the year. The guys, they throw 1,000 punches each. It was insane.
It was a fun fight. It was better than the T-Bud fight.
Just like the first fight, it was a war with just thousands of punches thrown.
There was a lot of good fights this weekend. And even your boy Tyson Fury got back in the ring, right?
Tyson Fury, tell me he isn't a fat slob.
Oh, my God. He's enormous.
He is enormous. Do you think he could take Joshua and Wilder?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Not right now.
Because he's not in shape.
He's not in shape at all.
He
those
looks
guys,
terrible.
Those guys would destroy him.
Right?
I think so.
He's a character, though.
He is.
He does, like, drugs, blow, and then he says he's going to kill everyone.
Yeah, pretty much.
But he,
if he stays clean now and he does the right thing and he gets into a little bit better shape, couldn't you see him down the line maybe fighting one of these guys?
Yeah, and hurting them.
Okay.
He's a violent man.
Hey, I'm into any fight where people, it's going to be a good fight and they're going to, you know, entertain the crowd and actually be watchable. I'm into it.
There also was a UFC 225 event this weekend.
What a disaster.
And it was basically Whitaker beat Romero in a really good fight. And Holly Holm was a winner. She won her fight.
CM Punk got beat up.
He got beat up.
And basically Dana White told him, all right,
Covington
thanks
beat,
for coming.
Rafael Dos Anjos. That was Colby Covington won that interim belt. That was a huge upset. Plus, he's like the bad guy of the UFC now. He talks smack about everybody, right? But he's got the interim belt now. And Holm beat Anderson. There you go. So lots of things went down this weekend. And
we absolutely have to talk about the scene that the Washington Capitol players put on this weekend
what
down in D.C. I mean, I still can't believe the stuff those guys were doing with the cup.
They were swimming naked in a fountain.
Unbelievable. I mean, I was so
proud.
They
were in restaurants, bars.
Everywhere.
Fountains, in hotel beds.
Incredible.
He did. Ovechkin did take it up a notch, though. He partied more than anyone.
Oshie was pretty good, too. He was pretty good.
He was double-fisted. I saw him.
Varna, all of them were in some shape, man. It was crazy. I even saw a video with our boy Joe Bettinati in the video. And he looked like he had a fun day with the guys, too.
Your boy Joe
Beninati. Oh, he was in the mix, too.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah.
So he gets a ring and was drinking from the cup?
He was partying. He was partying with the boys.
Your boy, Joe Beninati, Joe B. All right, there you go. Baseball takes priority now. Tons of games every day. PharrellOnTheBench.com is the premier place to go for picks, boxing, MMA, soccer from Russia with love. PharrellOnTheBench.com is the top choice. College and pro football countdown is on. Hurry and sign up today.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
855-212-4227 is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Mitch Lawrence is our hookup at NBA Radio, Forbes and Sporting News, inside the NBA. Mitch, my man, I thought this is just me. I thought the NBA finals were atrocious. It was just flat out awful.
You're right. But you know what? They were like the biggest underdogs in the history of the world, the Cavaliers. And that's the way it turned out. And it didn't help matters all that LeBron James goes and punches a whiteboard after game one. And basically, you know, he couldn't produce another 51-point colossal effort. And then he basically, you know, forget about game four. But, I mean, what he did in the second half there, he basically unplugged himself. It's not the first time we've seen him do that. In big playoff or finals moments. But, look, like Steve Kerr said, talent wins out. His team had more talent. And, yeah, it was a dud of a finals. What are you going to do?
I can't even imagine. I've never seen anything like – I really can't compare it to anything watching this guy's every step after that season. And even before it ended, they started talking about where is he going to go. And now that it's over and they got beat – The pace of that conversation is picking up steam like nothing I've ever seen, down to where his kids are playing high school basketball next year. Like,
right.
It's insanity.
Well, that's the way it is. I mean, you know, it's, the whole thing about LeBron is because of his stature, because he still is the best player in the sport, even though he's 33 and he's played a zillion minutes in the playoffs, because when he becomes a free agent, the world stops or everything revolves around him. And so you're going to get all these reports coming out about his schools are going to, his kids are going to be enrolled in this school in LA. And you're going to hear more stories, I'm sure, about that, other cities. So yeah, it's crazy, but that's what happens when it's all about LeBron, which obviously he loves.
I actually think he will go to Los Angeles based on his desire to become a movie mogul and to be a television and movie producer. He's already doing it. He already has a crib there. And I'm not putting anything past anyone saying that his kid could be going to this Sierra Canyon outside of L.A. I actually I'm going to fall for that.
Oh, I've said from for a long time, and I've gotten more convinced he'll be in L.A., especially when he talks about how the family situation. I think that's a perfect spot for him. Post-career stuff you mentioned. Move his kids out there. There's no reason to stay in Cleveland. And you know, he's got his base of operations out there already. He's got offices and stuff, got a couple of homes. I mean, what are his ties to Philadelphia? What are his ties except for Chris Paul to really Houston?
None.
L.A. makes the most sense. Plus, let's look at it from this standpoint, too. Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss. I mean, they're going to cater to his every desire out there, right? I mean, come on. He's got a perfect. Can you actually – I mean, I've heard that the Spurs are interested. What, Greg Popovich all of a sudden is going to change the way they do business and they're going to allow a guy to come in and run things? It's not the way it works. I can definitely see Magic Johnson working with LeBron James and giving him the type of power and clout that he had in Cleveland.
Do you think they'll lose Kawhi Leonard?
No, apparently everything now is pointed towards there's going to be some sort of an agreement that he stays. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, well, that's what they're saying. They're supposed to meet, obviously, Popovich and Kawhi are supposed to meet sometime this week, but that's what they're saying. And, I mean, yeah, all during the year we heard all the bad things that the Spurs were leaking out about Kawhi and Kawhi's side. What was Kawhi doing? And then, you know, Kawhi, it seemed like, who knows if he was happy? He never says anything. I mean, he's a total mystery man, right? He might be the most mysterious superstar we have in the league. But can they get back together? I'm sure if the Spurs come around and offer north of $200 million, you know, that max contract, he'll be happy to stay. So we'll see how it plays out. The other problem there, too, Scott, you know this. I mean, if you want to trade Kawhi Leonard, you're going to get anything like equal value back for him? It's going to be very hard for the Spurs.
Are you surprised, though, that he's so miserable there? Because I mean, I'm honestly, because I actually think that he wants to leave there, because it was so bizarre this year, the treatment of him, like after like he came back for like 9 games and the quad wasn't obviously people don't realize how brutal that quad tear is. It's a life changer for 9 months. I had it once. It's a life changer. But when he came back and then he got like it tweaked again, then he like never hung around the team again ever for like the rest of the year. Like he wanted nothing to do with them. Now all of a sudden they're lovers again.
I know. It's a weird thing.
I don't believe that.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you may be right, but like I said, they're going to have to find a place for him, and they're going to have to – I mean, the Spurs aren't going to give him away, and they're certainly not going to trade him to the Lakers.
Right.
You can forget that. I mean, that ain't ever happening. But, I mean, look, never say never. He could be traded, obviously, if things don't – if they don't have a meeting of the minds. I think that's possible. But you know what? I think Popovich also has to realize – what happens if we do move him? Are we ready to retrench and retool? And, you know, I mean, there's a lot. That's a complicated picture as it is right there.
Do you think Mitch Lawrence with his NBA radio, Forbes or Sporting News, do you think that, seriously, that this GM, Bob Myers, actually made a mistake by saying he'll give Durant whatever he wants, like whatever he wants, whatever I want? That means like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, I get to eat any chocolate that I want. I can have whatever I want. And $200 million and an Oompa Loompa. I mean, this is whatever I want. That's like my wife saying, go have fun tonight in Vegas and do whatever you want. Okay, whatever I want.
That'd be dangerous. Right? Well, here's the thing you got to remember, though. Last year, Kevin Durant was really the star of the offseason because he took a pay cut and he didn't re-up for as much as he could have so that they could fit Iguodala back in, they could fit Sean Livingston back in. So he's due a huge deal, a mega deal. And so, I think the game plan all along with Lakeup, the owner, because he's the one with the money, and his guys, Peter Gruber, is we're going to, Steph Curry's going to get a max deal. Kevin Durant's going to get a max deal. And by the way, these guys are going to be the centerpiece when we move across the bay to San Francisco, where we're going to be charging PSLs, and we'll have all kinds of fancy suites and charging top dollar. But we're going to have these two players who are MVP caliber. And, yeah, that's the going rate. They're going to have to pay. They all knew when they got Kevin Durant, you know what, a couple of years ago they were going to have to pay him. So now it's time to pay him. So they're going to have to pay him.
All right, hey, Mitch, hang in here. I want to do another segment with you. We'll talk about the draft, and I want to talk about more about the Warriors, a little more about the Lakers, a little bit about D-Wade. We're talking with Mitch Lawrence of NBA Radio on the bench. Let's first get an update, though. Here's my guy, Peter Schwartz.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, we're talking to Mitch Lawrence from NBA Radio and Forbes Sporting News. Great writer, good friend of the show. You always hear him on the bench. So let me go back to your article about they fall short of the all-time greats. So there were several people that threw in the Warriors, the Bulls, the Showtime Lakers, or the Russell Celtics all those years. Which one do you think is the best of all time?
That is so hard to say. I mean, that's like impossible because they're all these different eras. But, I mean, start with this. To me, the very definition of the all-time team, you have to have at least, what, two iconic players? I'm not talking about all-stars. I'm not talking about I'm talking about Mount Rushmore candidates. So the team that comes to mind, obviously, I mean, you could talk about the Celtic team. That's a long time ago. They had Russell and Cousy. Okay, but we know it's a different era. But like Magic and Kareem, those are two iconic players, Mount Rushmore guys. Magic might be the greatest point guard ever. Kareem might be the greatest big man, right? So, I mean, they win five titles. I mean, they've got a case. You can go there. All I know is what my point was is that the Warriors don't have those type of players. They have believe me, they're an excellent team. I mean, they're the class of the field right now, and it's a joke because it's such a unbalanced situation competition-wise. But are Steph Curry or Kevin Durant the top players at their respective positions? No. And I don't know if they're good. I don't think they're going to reach that. And so, to me, that's why they fall short. And then you mentioned, obviously, Michael Jordan. We all know about him. And by the way, I have to reiterate this, Scott. I'm sure you notice this, too. When LeBron has a situation in game four, and they're not going to win the series, but he basically goes out and, you know, takes three shots after halftime and looks like he's totally not engaged. Did Jordan ever pull one of those numbers in a game, in a playoff game or a final?
No, not even
never
close.
Never did. And that's where the people are missing. That's the huge thing about the LeBron thing. He's done that several times in finals and in playoffs in big spots. Michael Jordan never did that. He never pulled the plug on himself. But anyway, that's my basic point. You have to have iconic, I'm talking about top players at their respective positions, for me to be considered an all-time team.
So
Warriors don't have that.
Do you, let me ask you this. Do you think that, because we all recognize LeBron's brilliance as a basketball player, that's a given. But do you feel that, because, you know, you talked about how he quits. Like,
right.
And not only that, but he loses. And so my question is, you know, this guy, all we've ever, like, it's gotten stale watching him lose six times.
Right.
It's unbelievable how much, like, he's 3-6 in finals. And you talk about Jordan, he would have never done this. And Magic Johnson would have never done it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would have punched you in the face. And I guarantee you, Larry Bird would have never done it. And But my question is this. They actually, there are 3 or 4 years. I think they'll win it next year, hands down. Already, there's no team beating that team, including the Rocket Chokers, is what they are. But do you think he's in these big playoff and championships a loser? I mean, he just loses. That's all he ever does.
Well, and he's lost what? He's what, 1-4 in his last five?
Yeah, I mean, he just loses and he quits.
And I mean, guys like Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, they'll sit there and tell you it's all about one thing. It ain't good enough to get there. You got to win the ring. It's always the ring is the whole idea. And obviously, that's why LeBron has to leave Cleveland. That's one of the reasons. That's why he left the first time, because he had to hook up with better players, because he himself can't do it. He needs mega stars, which he doesn't have in Cleveland. So right now, yeah, 3-6 is a problem. It's not Jerry. Jerry West lost, he and Baylor lost 8 times. They kept losing to the Celtics. But it's a big problem for LeBron because we know the bottom line is, fair or not, that's how these guys are measured. We're talking about the Mount Rushmore guys. You know, we're not just talking about everyday players. This is a guy who we're going to judge when we view him against other greats. How did you do in the finals? And he's lost 6 of 9 times.
So do you think that after game one, when they got shafted by the refs, as far as I'm concerned, but they never scored in overtime. So once they blew their opportunity to get a shot off on the last play, and they didn't get a shot or a chance at one or anything else. And then after that point, they were so mad in the timeout, and they were so angry, and LeBron was done. He checked out after JR blew it. Do you think that they laid down literally, and after that moment, that they quit for the rest of the finals?
Well, I don't know if they quit for the rest of the finals. I mean, they were in, you know, it took outstanding. Game two was, but yeah.
That was a blowout, so was game four.
But they did compete. Game three, they played better. Obviously, we knew what the situation was in game four. It wasn't a very competitive. I don't know if they quit right then and there, but they were certainly did not. Look, that was basically for them. I think that basically told LeBron, especially LeBron, you're not winning this series. That was their one shot. He scores 51, and that's the game you have to win. And when you don't win that, then it's a huge uphill climb. And so I'm sure there were a lot of doubts on that team, although look at it from the standpoint, too. It took them, by losing that game, it took them because George Hill couldn't make a free throw and J.R. Smith dribbled the clock out. They might have had a great shot to win the game.
Right.
So they didn't totally quit, but obviously – They knew that the cards were so stacked against them. And like I started out by saying, I think Vegas rated them one of the biggest underdogs ever when you looked at how Vegas viewed this whole thing. And we all knew that this was going to be a one-sided deal. It was either going to be 4 or 5, right?
What do you think happens to that team when he leaves?
Oh, boy. I mean, they've got so many guys under big contracts who it's just going to be like a mediocre team. I mean, Kevin Love's got a big contract, and Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith. What they should try to do is get out from under some of those deals and somehow trade them off if they can. I don't know if that's possible, but they need to rebuild because look, if LeBron leaves, let's say he goes west, let's say he goes to the Lakers. I mean, Boston and Philadelphia are sitting there. They're going to be the class of the East for how many years now, right?
Right.
So they have to retool and retrench. I don't know if they can do that. But the next couple of years, because LeBron, by the way, insisted he obviously wanted to get his guys paid with Clutch Sports and all that. So, yeah, Tristan Thompson got overpaid and J.R. Smith got overpaid. So that's always a problem. It's that what happens when LeBron isn't there. That's why Kyrie Irving was smart to get out when he did.
Do you think they'll get rid of J.R. Smith either way?
Very hard to. I don't know the contract's, what, $15-17 million a year for a couple of years. Who wants him at that price?
Can't they just like,
that much?
What about paying him to go to hell? Just go away. You're so terrible. You're so terrible now.
Salary cap. You know, it's a salary cap. But no, I mean, you know, sure, I'm sure they're going to want to move guys. But the problem is you need takers. And, you know, teams have to be very careful. You pick up bad contracts like that, and you're stuck. You're going to be stuck with tariffs if you don't want that.
So let me ask you, Mitch Lawrence, NBA Radio, Forbes, and Sporting News, back on the bench. The draft is coming up in a couple of weeks. And obviously, DeAndre Ayton, they're going to take number one, and that'll be that. I guess my question is, how will – because I care. I do care. How will the Knicks screw this up?
They got the 9th pick, right?
Right. What can they get?
Well, they can get this kid out of Villanova, Bridges, who apparently they like a lot. And so, you know, that's what they can get. I mean, look – you know, they're going to get – there should be somebody who's good there at 9, but I just don't know. I mean, at this point, it's very hard to project because you just don't know what the order is. You know, that Ayton, Bagley, Doncic, guys like that, Trae Young, they're going to be probably off the board. Colin Sexton could be there, the Alabama point guard, but they got a lot of point guards as it is.
So you're telling me, take the kid Bridges from Nova, not the one from Michigan State.
I've heard that they like the kid Bridges from Nova. Definitely. He's been in. They like him a lot. and that's the one they want. Yeah, the bridges from Villanova, not the bridges from Michigan State. But otherwise, I really have no idea what they're going to do, nor do they know, because, you know, you're picking ninth, so who knows what's going to happen. There could be moves above them where teams trade out, and then that's always, you know, impossible to figure because you got other trade teams moving up. You just don't know.
How did that kid, Jaren Jackson, at Michigan State, rise up to allegedly top five draft pick? Because, like, he wasn't even a star player on that team.
I got no idea. I don't know a lot about these guys. This is the wrong stuff to ask me at this point. I got to brush up on it, but I know that some people like him. I don't know why. I don't know a lot about his game. You know more about it than I do.
He's just long. I think he's athletic and long and blocks shots. I will grant you that. But I never saw the guy actually turn around and dagger a 15-footer in anyone's face, ever. I saw him block shots and get rebounds. That was it. I never saw the guy score. I mean, the kid Bridges on that team was an absolute monster. That's it. They got one player that I'm interested in on that team.
Well, in this day and age where it's all about offense,
right?
If you're going to draft in the top, whatever, no matter where you draft, your guys have to score. Especially, you know, the big thing for all these teams, when we saw it with Cleveland in the finals without Kyrie Irving, they never replaced him. You need guys who can get their own shot and, you know, score off the bounce. Guards, perimeter players, to me, they've got to be able to shoot threes and get the ball to the basket.
And they have none of that at the Knicks. The Knicks have absolutely no one on their team that can do that. It's unbelievable to me. Let me ask you this question. Dwayne Wade has always been one of my favorite players, as you know. He's 36. The question is, will he play one more year for the Heat and then call it a day? Is he going to do it or not?
I assume he will. I haven't heard anything otherwise. Have you heard anything otherwise?
No.
Why shouldn't he? He's still, believe it or not, one of their better players. I mean, it's crazy to say. They don't have a lot of they don't have a lot of talent there. I love, you know, Pat Riley's done a great job over the years there, although the last few years I'm starting to scratch my head because he's got a lot of guys there, and I'm just like, where are the stars? This is the guy who used to have Dwayne Wade in his prime. He drafted him, of course, and he got LeBron James and Chris Bosh, and now you look at that roster that they have to work with. I mean, what do they have? They don't have any stars there anymore. They don't have anybody close to a star that we know that Pat Riley knows that he needs to compete. So, yeah, if I were them, I'd have Dwayne Wade back and hope that he, you know, gets goes to the fountain in youth and drinks up and comes back and helps me win.
Yeah, it's kind of a trash lineup when you think about it. And the fact that they couldn't keep the big fellow Whiteside happy, he seems miserable there too, is troubling. Let me ask you a couple of fringe questions real quick. Do you like the Summer League in Vegas? Do you like watching those games? Because I actually like it. I think the Summer League games in Vegas with all the, you know, rooks and all the draft picks, I actually think it's better than the NBA Finals that I just watched, which were heinous. They were heinous, those games.
Sometimes, I'll tell you what, they'll be good. You know why you're going to tune in this summer? Because you're going to see what Trae Young does, right? You're going to watch him because everybody wants to know if Trae Young's going to be another Steph Curry, if he's got it in him. So, yeah, we watch it with more interest now because you got these guys who go there who are the top picks. We all watched it last year to see Lonzo Ball. You got to see Kuzma, right? Kuzma started.
He was great.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, so it's fun. It's good. You know, it's good sometimes.
Do you like at all, and I know that a lot of people laugh, but I actually enjoy watching basketball so much that I will watch the big three games and I'll watch the basketball tournament, the $2 million basketball tournament that's all over the country of all these former D1 players and pros that play for all this money in this $2 million tournament. It's actually, and they put it on ESPN, it's actually kind of kick-ass watching all these, like, hardcore former players go at it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't really watch the big three, although I kind of pay attention to it because it's like the alumni league, right?
Right.
And you got guys like Rick Mahorn, who I've known for years. He's coaching now. And, you know, you got all these players who you've seen and you see them come back and try to play. So it's kind of, you know, it does give you a little something in the summer, but I don't, believe me, I'm not paying strict attention to what Kenyon Martin's doing on the court these days.
All right. Listen, Mitch, great stuff tonight, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench as always.
Thank you, Scott. Talk to you later.
All right, Mitch Lawrence, NBA Radio on Sirius, also Forbes and Sporting News. The odds are updated. The Lakers plus 200 to get LeBron. Rockets plus 220. Cavs plus 350 with the Sixers. Celtics at 1,000, Spurs 1,200, Warriors 2,000, Clippers at 2,000, Heat at 3,300. The countdown begins on July 1st. I believe he has to notify them on the 29th about his player option. I just saw the Red Sox finish off the Orioles in 12, I believe it was, 2-0. And they finish them off. And the Pirates are up 3-0 on the D-backs. So I'm going to watch the Angels and Mariners late night. I know Connor McDavid is in here. He suggested that we watch dirty movies, which I told him it was not a good idea based on my past. I used to watch a lot of dirty movies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.